All right, Genesis chapter 44 tonight. I want to just tell you a little bit about the story and then preach my sermon. It revolves around the fourth son of Jacob and Leah. Of course, Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter by four different wives. And there were six born to Leah before any of his other children were born, and Jacob was the fourth of those six. We only know a few things about him, and none of them are very positive. He was one of the 10 brothers that was jealous of his brother Joseph. He was one of 10 brothers that when Joseph came to Dothan looking for his brothers, that decided that they were going to gang up on him and strip him out of the coat of many colors that his father had made for him and threw him in a pit. And it was actually Judah's idea to sell him to the Ishmaelites. You don't have to turn to it, but in Genesis 37, the Bible says this, "And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." So it was his idea to sell Joseph as a slave, and they took him into Egypt. He married outside of the family. The Bible says that he married a Canaanite, and from that little story, we can learn that he wasn't a very good father. The Bible says his first son, Judah took a wife named Tamar, but the Bible says that Er was wicked, and God killed him. Jacob gave Tamar to his second son, a man by the name of Onan, so that Onan could do what was the custom back in those days, raise up a family in the name of his brother. But Onan refused to do that, and God killed him. He told his daughter-in-law, Tamar, said, "Hey, wait, and I'll give you my third son, who is a boy by the name of Shelah. Wait till he's grown up, and I'll give you him." And he didn't do it when Shelah got old. He didn't do it. And I won't describe the circumstances, but through a set of circumstances, Jacob fathered two boys by his daughter-in-law, Tamar. And so you read those things about him in the Old Testament, you would say, boy, that's not a very good guy. I mean, you know, we don't know a lot about the other brothers, but if this one was any indication of the kind of boys that Jacob had, he sure didn't have a bunch of good boys. And yet, I would remind you that Judah was the one that got the birthright when Reuben fell. And I would remind you that the lion of the tribe of Judah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Judah is in the lineage of Christ. Judah is the tribe that Christ came out of it. You might say, well, preacher, after all these things that you told us about, why would God choose Judah to be the one, to be the forefather, to be the one that would pass down the seed of Christ, or be in the tribe of Christ, not pass down the seed, but be in the tribe of Christ? And I think it comes down to the story that we read a moment ago, and I think it comes down to one verse where Judah said this, verse 34, this is my text tonight, and the subject and the title of my sermon, "For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father." Let me tell you the story. Let me tell you what led up to him saying that, what was going on in these verses in Genesis chapter 44. This is the second time that the 10 brothers had come from the land of Israel to Egypt to buy food. There was a famine going on, and they ran out of food in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel. And so Jacob sent the first time 10 of his sons. Of course, Joseph was already gone, and he kept Benjamin at home. So he sent the other 10 sons. He said, "Hey, I hear there's food in Egypt. Go to Egypt and buy us some food." When they got there, the one that was in charge of selling the food said, "You're spies. I can just tell. I can tell by looking at you, you're spies. I'm just going to throw you all in jail." And he threw them all in jail and let them sit in jail for a couple days. And then he brought them out. He said, "Look, I'm a just man. I'm going to give you a chance to prove your story. I'm going to keep one of you in jail. They kept Simon in jail. I'm going to let the other nine of you go home. And when you come back the next time, I want you to bring your other brother. Because they had told him, in fact, the man that was in charge of passing out the food, asked them, he said, well, hey, do you have any more brothers? And they said, yeah, we have one more, our youngest brother's at home. And then the man that was selling the food said, well, how's your dad doing? How's your father doing? And they said, our father's in good health. And so he said, when he sent them home, the nine brothers home, he said, now, I think you're spies. When you come back the next time, I'm going to keep one of you in jail. And when you come back the next time, if you don't have your little brother with you, I'm going to throw you all in jail and not sell you any more food. So they went home and told their dad, Jacob, what had happened. And, of course, their dad was distraught. He'd already lost one son. He thought one son, Joseph, had been killed by a wild animal because the other brothers, the other 10 of these brothers, had brought the coat of many colors that Jacob had made for his son, Joseph, and it was bloodstained. And he thought that Joseph was dead, killed by a wild animal. And now Simon was in jail in Egypt. And he was distraught. He says, God, I had 12, 13 children, and God has taken them away from me one at a time. He took Joseph, and now he's taken Simon. And he says, there is no way that you were going to take Benjamin back to Egypt. Only had two sons by my wife Rachel. The oldest was Joseph, and Benjamin was the youngest. And I am not going to let you take Benjamin back to Egypt. It's just not going to happen. And so for a while, they lived off the food that the brothers brought back from Egypt. But after a while, it ran out, and they got hungry again. And Jacob said, I want you to go back to Egypt and buy us some more food. And it was Judah that said, we can't go back unless Benjamin's with us. The man that's in charge of selling the food, he was not Pharaoh, but the man that's in charge of selling the food said that we were not going to see his face again. We could not even come into his presence to make our request for more food unless our little brother Benjamin is with us. And here's what Dad said. Well, why did you tell him about Benjamin? Why did you have to mention him at all? And they answered, well, he asked us. He asked how you were doing. He asked how Benjamin was doing. How did we know that he would say, you're not going to get any more food unless you bring Benjamin? How were we to know that he was going to say that? And Jacob said, I just wish he hadn't told him. I've lost two sons already, and now you want to take Benjamin? And he struggled with the decision for a while and finally said, okay, you can take Benjamin. So they take their money to buy food, they take their little brother, and they go back to the house of this one that's in charge of selling the food. And the servant meets him and said, here's your brother Simon, and he brings Simon out of jail. And they were treated better the second time than they were the first time, because as they came to this house, they understood that this ruler, the one that was in charge of passing out the food, was going to have them over for dinner. And he had them over for dinner and served them well and fed them a good meal. And then they were given food and they were sent on their way, all 11 of them. But as they were going, not far from this ruler's house, a band of soldiers came and said, hey, there's something missing from the ruler's house. His silver cup, the one that he drinks out of, the one that he uses to foretell the future, it's missing, and we think one of you guys stole it. And of course, they denied it and said, no, no, we're all innocent. And so the soldiers brought him back until the ruler's house, and the ruler was there, the one that was in charge of the food distribution, met him and said, hey, didn't you know that I could discern? Didn't you know that I can tell? Why would you repay my kindness by stealing something that belongs to me? And of course, again, they proclaimed their innocence. Oh, no, we would not do this. And this ruler said, no, somebody did it, and the one that did it is going to be my slave for life. The one whose bag we find the cup in, the rest of you can go, but that one who's got my cup is going to be my slave forever. So they started with the oldest, who was Reuben, and they worked their way down and got to Benjamin's bag, and they opened Benjamin's bag. And in Benjamin's bag was this silver cup. And the ruler, the one that was in charge of the food distribution, said, okay, he's going to be my servant. The rest of you can go home. The rest of you can take food back to your father and to your families. But this your younger brother is going to stay in Egypt. He is going to be my slave. He is not going to get to go home. And the passage of Scripture that we read from Genesis chapter 44 is Judah standing before this ruler begging for the life of Benjamin. And basically, and let me tell you why. Let me tell you why he begged. I mean, based on the story that, or the things I've told you about Judah, you might say, well, why would he do that? He was not a good guy. He hated Joseph. He probably didn't think much of Benjamin because Benjamin probably became dad's favorite after Joseph was gone. And yet here he was pleading for Benjamin's life. Three reasons. Number one, it was his job. The Bible says he had become surety for Benjamin. Back in Genesis chapter 43, don't turn to it, but here's what the Bible says. And Judah said unto Jacob his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shall thou requite him. If I bring him not up unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. What Judah was saying is, I'll be responsible for him. I will make sure that he gets home safe. If I don't bring him home, I will pay the price. Every time I read the book of Genesis, I want to preach a sermon about the difference between Reuben and Judah. Because the first time, when they were talking about going, and when they first came back and they talked about going back, and Dad said, no, you're not going to take Benjamin, Reuben spoke up and said, oh, Dad, let him go with us. If anything happens to him, you can kill my two sons. Hey, pretty easy for somebody to say, hey? Hey, if anything happens to our little brother Benjamin, you can take the life of my two sons. And here's Judah, on the other hand, that says, oh no, Dad, if anything's happened to him, I'll pay the price. I'll substitute myself. If anything's about to happen to him, I will take his place. And can you see the difference between those two? Hey, if anything happens to him, you can kill my two sons. No, if anything happens to him, you can kill me. I'll pay the price. No wonder the line of the tribe of Judah came from Judah. No wonder he came from this tribe. Because here was his forefather saying, I'll pay the price if anything happens. I'll take his place. I'll be his substitute. So when the ruler said, hey, little boy, or the youngest son, you're going to be my slave. You're not going to go home. Judah raised his hand and said, sir, let me take his place. I'll stay. I won't go home. I won't see my dad anymore. I won't see my family anymore. I won't see my home anymore. Don't keep him. Keep me. It was his job. Because he had said, I will be a surety for him. That's why I said, how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? Number one, it was his job. Number two, he loved his brother. Again, love is more than a feeling. Love is an action. When the ruler said to Benjamin, you're not going to go home, you're going to be my slave, Judah said, I'll take his place. Not just because it was his job, because he loved his little brother. Something had happened in Judah's heart. He was ready to throw Joseph in a pit and kill him. When an opportunity came to sell him, he said, why should we kill him? Why should his blood be on our hands? Let's sell him for a profit. And again, I think Jacob, when Joseph was gone, didn't come back, put his attention on the other son of Rachel and made him his favorite. And yet here was one of his older brothers saying, oh no, no, sir, you can't not keep my younger brother. I will take his place. I'll stand in his stead. I will be your slave. I'll be the one that stays with you forever because I love my brother. And number three, he said it, because he loved his dad. He loved his father. He said, I saw what happened when Joseph didn't come home. I remember what happened when we brought that bloody coat into and let daddy see it. How he wept and how he wouldn't eat and how he mourned for days and weeks and even months, saying he didn't want to live anymore because Joseph wasn't home. Now it's Benjamin. If I go home without Benjamin, he said it in the passages of Scripture that we read. If I go home without Benjamin, Dad will die. He just won't be able to take it. He wept so much for Joseph. He mourned so much for Joseph. And now if he loses the other son, if he loses the other son that he had with Rachel, if I don't bring him home, Dad will die. So how can I return unless the lad be with me? That's why he said it. It was his job. He loved his brother. He loved his dad. Now, let me make my points for tonight. Bring it up to 2007. We need some people like Judah tonight that will say, "How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me?" The Father is God, the Father, the Heavenly Father. The lad represents a bunch of people in our life. The lad represents our spouses, our children, our parents, our grandparents, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, our nephews, our nieces, our uncles and our aunts, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and I'll quit for the sake of time. You can just go on down the list. The lad in this story represents all those people that are in the sphere of our life that we can influence for God. And we need to say like Judah, "How can I die and go to heaven and be with God and my wife not be with me? How can I die and go and be with God and my husband not be with me? How can I die and go to heaven and be with God and my son and my daughter not be with me? How can I die and go to heaven and be with God and my mom and dad and my grandpa and my grandma not be with me? How can I go to heaven and face the Father if my aunt and my uncle, my friends, are not with me? How can I enter into heaven and see my Heavenly Father's face and my neighbor and my co-workers and my friends not be with me?" Why should we say it? For the same reasons that Judah said it. Number one, it's our job. It's our commission. That's why God left us here. John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." Matthew 4:19, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's our job to get people saved. It's our job to tell people about Christ. It's our job to tell them about how to get into the kingdom of God. "For how shall I go up to the Father and the lad," who represents all those people in our life, "not be with us?" Number two, we should say it because we love them. We love them. Love's not a feeling, it's an action. There ought to be somebody that we love so much that we say, "If I can't get them to Christ, if I can't get them into the kingdom of God, if I can't get them saved, then dear God, let me take their place. Let me take their place." Moses said it in Exodus 32 when he said, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, the people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet not if thou wilt forgive them their sin." And then there's a dash. "And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." This is when Moses came down after he got the Ten Commandments the first time, and the people had made a golden calf, and they were dancing around that golden calf. And God said, "Stand back, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to start over with you." And Moses prayed for the people, said, "Lord, please forgive them. If you can't forgive them, just then take me out of the book too. Just blot my name out of the book you have written, the book of life." In Romans chapter 10, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He said in Romans 9:3, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." What he was saying was the same thing that Moses said in the Old Testament. He said, if I could get some of my kinsmen saved, if I could get some of my family saved, then I'd be willing to be accursed from Christ for them. That's what Jesus did for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What Jesus says to each one of us is, I love you so much that I will take your place. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the punishment for your sin because I love you so much. So let me ask you tonight, do you love anybody that much? Is there somebody in your life that you'd be willing to go to God and say, God, I've told them about Jesus. I've told them about eternity. I've given them the gospel, and they refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Would you let me take their place? Now, I know before anybody says anything, it does not work that way. I know we can't do that. I know there's people that say that you can do that for others, but I can't find that in the Bible. And so I'm not preaching heresy tonight. I'm not preaching we can take somebody else's place. What I'm preaching is there ought to be people in our life that we love so much and are so concerned about them getting to heaven that we'd have that same attitude. God, if I could, I'd trade my life for theirs. I'd trade my salvation for theirs. And I dare say that if we love them that much to say that, we'd be more urgent. We'd be more bold. We'd be more persistent in going after those people. But how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? And then number three, we ought to say it for the same third reason that Judah said it. We love the Father. We love the Father. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says this, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every single person to go to heaven. There's not a person that's walked the face of this earth, not a person that's been born, not a person that's been conceived, that God doesn't love and want to take home to heaven. First, we preach from this morning, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the little songs we teach the kids to sing in Sunday school are simple little songs, but they have a lot of truth in them. Think about that one that says, Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. How can we go to our Father and not take somebody with us? How can we go to our Father and the lad be not with us? And so tonight, every one of us that are Christians, we ought to say like Judah, I'll take his place. I'll go after him. I'll be persistent. I'll tell him about Jesus because it's my job, because I love him, and because I love the Father. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the story, for the lesson that it teaches us. I pray, Father, that as